handle on the news. Late edition.
Handle on the news.
Do you have a nickname for
Bill Handle?
Poop Face.
And now, here's
Poop Face.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. All right, Handle, Poop Face here, and the morning crew. Before we get into Handle on the News, late edition, just a quick thank you to Jackson Limousine. Whenever I need help or I need a limo, it's Jackson Limousine. Also, airport pickups, they do a great job with that. Had parties, took out a limousine once I took out their party bus, 25 bus. You cannot deal with a company better than Jackson Limousine. They have town cars, limousines, and a lot more. So book your next airport pickup, night out, or event at jacksonlimo.com. Good guys. Crazy about them. All right. Let's do it. Handle on the News, late edition, lead story. And we didn't expect this morning at all. So the tax bill, the budget, the spending bill, the omnibus spending bill, everybody voted for, which everybody hated, which means it's the best bill they could get out, now goes to the president. And the president sends a tweet this morning saying he's considering vetoing the bill after he had said he'll sign anything that comes up. And he said, I love this. Based on the fact that the DACA recipients, 800,000 plus, have been totally abandoned by the Democrats. Remember, the president would not continue DACA. Right? He's a guy who basically said they're illegal. Now, since it's not in the bill, the protection of the DACA recipients, therefore, I may veto it. What?
This was Mick Mulvaney yesterday.
Let's cut right to the chase. Is the president going to sign the bill? The answer is yes. Why? Because it funds his priorities.
Or not.
And that's the other thing. The other part that he might veto it is because the wall is not fully funded. A small amount of money is given to the wall.
But so, he knew that yesterday before Mick Mulvaney made that statement.
Hey, McMaster's was doing a great job, and he wasn't going to be fired until 30 seconds later.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
All right. Well, now we do have an end to our terror situation in France this morning. Started about 5 o'clock our time-ish. We first got word about a guy who apparently saw some police officers running by him.
They were jogging.
Jogging by him, yeah. And he either tried to shoot at them and hit one of them, and then tried to ram them with his car, and then apparently ran into a grocery store, and that's where he started holding people hostage. He killed three people inside this market. I've got an update on this story now. It's three people were killed inside the market. A number of people were injured, but at some point, French police were able to shoot and kill the shooter. So that's it, and the guy was...
And he claimed that his allegiance to ISIS.
To ISIS, yeah.
Did you say Moroccan is what you think
it
is?
Yeah, the initial report said that he was a Moroccan national and that he also wanted the whole thing that he was screaming, I guess. He was screaming, Allahu Akbar. And then he said also he would let the people go. He was demanding the release of the guy who was the mastermind of the Paris attacks back in 2015.
Great.
That was his demand.
There are a bunch of students in Washington, D.C. today, but it's not a field trip. Say, live and
let die. Yeah, these are the students from school in Parkland, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, which 17 people died. And they have put together this huge march that's going to happen tomorrow. They figure 500,000 people are going to show up. It's right off the mall. And they're in Washington today talking to legislators as if anything is going to happen. So who are they talking to? The two legislators that are okay with gun control? Or the 98% of the other ones that smile, yes, I'm listening to you, like with President Trump sitting around with his talking points. Yes, I'm listening.
If you're a gun rights legislator and you have no intention of voting for any more gun regulations, do you take a meeting with these kids anyway?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And show them you care. And they may very well care. I mean, it's just some believe fundamentally Second Amendment. Is so important that it's just the cost of doing business. Many libertarians feel the same way when it comes to letting a guilty man out. Everybody knows he's guilty, but there was a technical flaw. You know, evidence was obtained illegally. In one instance, he walks, and civil libertarians will tell you, ACLU folks, that's simply the cost of doing business in the United States. It is more important that we uphold the Constitution, or the way we perceive it, or the way the Supreme Court is that a guilty man walks out. Guilty men have to walk out, so we will uphold the Constitution. And the gun people can say, hey, that's simply the cost of doing business. It is our right.
Do you want to say that to a bunch of,
I don't know,
kids in your office?
No, what I'm saying is that they take a meeting and that's the way they think. And they can care deeply about these students being massacred. But it becomes collateral damage. It's the cost of doing business. It's like Southern California. You love Southern California. Get on a freeway right about now. It's simply the cost of doing business.
All right. So some of those same students who want gun control changed are not thrilled with this new idea that the kids who are at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas are going to get clear backpacks as safety measures. To find me safe
and sound. Clear backpacks? Okay.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, So you put stuff in a clear backpack, you can still have a pouch with something in it in a clear backpack.
Yeah.
But some of the kids...
they can go further and say you can't, if they just wear their underwear, there's fewer places to hide. Matter of fact, what is it? I think when diamonds are counted, or in Las Vegas, the way the mafia used to skim money.
Right.
In the counting rooms, those guys wore just the underwear, you know, the counters.
Seriously?
Huh? Oh,
that's funny. Well, the deal is they may put in permanent metal detectors, and then they want to have the kids wear these clear backpacks. But some of the kids are saying, well, hey, this is a loss of our privacy.
Yeah.
Well,
it is. But again, let's go back to the cost of doing business. It all boils down to what are we willing to accept or not accept? And then sometimes it's just stupid. Clear backpacks? Okay. I mean, is that going to do anything?
You want to hear something that sounds even stupider? At the Blue Mountain School District in Pennsylvania, every classroom will be equipped with weapons, specifically a bucket of rocks. The superintendent, Dr. David Helsel, testified to a House Education Committee, a Pennsylvania House committee, and he said, hey, I came up with this idea of having a 5-gallon bucket full of river stone, and if an armed intruder manages to get through the door of a locked classroom, the students will have more than just pencils and books to throw at him.
Now, at first that sounds so stupid it's beyond belief. I'm looking at the story, I go, this is ridiculous. However, if you really dive into the story, they are also doing all the security measures that should be done anyway. So they're doing everything they should. And he said, if someone armed comes in somehow as a very last resort, there's the bucket and you just start throwing stones. You know what? I'm actually okay with that. I think if an intruder comes in, what do you do? I mean, you try to hide, but in terms of first responders, you go for it. You attack.
Yeah, if you don't want to have firearms in the classroom.
Right. And then it makes sense to me. I got to tell you, I looked at this and I said, that's the dumbest thing in the world until you read it and find out, as he said, the ultimate last resort. All right.
Well, this might be one of the dumbest things in the world, where if you are a preschool director, you threaten to cut off the fingers of a 4-year-old.
Not good.
No.
20 tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes, 2 angel faces.
So this New Jersey...
Wait a sec, I have to congratulate John on this one, only because that's about as depraved as you can get. And boy, has he fit into this show quickly, hasn't he?
Very well. So this director of this New Jersey preschool is now on paid leave from school. I think it's paid leave. Anyway, because she... apparently pulled a knife on a 4-year-old and threatened to cut off his fingers.
Mm.
And it's not really clear, like, why this kid and another kid were being disciplined, but I'm still pretty sure no matter what they had done, pulling out a knife and threatening to cut off their fingers was not okay.
No. Name of the school, Dawn to Dusk Center, Christian Child Care and Learning Center.
And the woman's name is Adito Konubo Akinaso.
Oh, good for you.
What Would Jesus Do bracelet at home there.
I guess, yeah. All right.
Speaking of fingers, police are sometimes able to use the fingerprints of dead suspects to unlock their iPhones.
Oh. I got my fingers on it.
These are movies. But they do. You know, you cut off someone's hands, cut off someone's finger, eyeballs.
Right.
You know, for the retinal display security camera security thing. And this is, and they use fingerprints of dead suspects. I mean, so someone's dead, has an iPhone, just put the finger on it, still keeps fingerprints until they rot. And it works.
Sometimes it works. You know, it's hit or miss.
But think about that. You have, let's say, as they put up an example that one of the people that do this at Ohio State University put up. You had an attacker, and where is he? Where did he come from? What are the phone? Can you imagine if you have a cell phone that now you go through all the contacts and you have a lot more information? A drug dealer, for example, having information on everybody sold to and where he buys from.
Or if you get one of these increasing overdose cases,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the person's OD'd, you can maybe find out who their drug dealer was.
Right, by taking him completely dead and putting his finger on the iPhone.
Yeah. And if nobody else has an ownership interest in the phone and you're dead, perfectly, there's no problem. You don't need a warrant at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, no, perfectly legal. Yeah.
Then they're talking about whether you know, the iPhone 10 has the Face ID, and they're talking about whether you could use a dead guy's face to unlock his iPhone
10. Well, if you can use his finger, why not? Although, you could set him up with a smile. You know, he's there, and you just pull, you know, until the rigor sits in, you know, you grab and you do the smile, and if that doesn't work, you turn around and pull it down, pull the lips down to do a frown.
Right, because you don't know what expression he made when he did the scanning.
Yes.
Speaking of depraved and fitting into the show, Alex has chosen all of these stories this morning, just for the record.
Yes.
Including this one. I'm reading the headline straight. Cop sucked suicidal man's toes and sexually assaulted him at hospital. But
I'm
a
creep. I'm reading this and trying to figure out what's wrong with this.
Handle.
What?
So this guy's being held on a misdemeanor charge, right? And he starts saying he's suicidal. So they take him to the hospital for a psych eval. Fine. Well, while the suspect is, well, the guy's chained to the bed, and that one of the officers goes off to, I don't know, eat lunch or something, the other officer starts giving this man relationship advice, then proceeds to start massaging his feet and sucking on his toes.
So?
He also, well, let's see,
but
if
wait,
you're,
there's
let's
more.
See if you're still on board, Bill. Then he grabs the guy's genitals.
All right, getting worse.
Takes a picture of the guy's genitals.
But wait, there's more. Then when the other cop comes back, our suspect decides he needs to go to the bathroom. So our rather loving cop, I guess, says, oh, I'll help you. Takes him into the bathroom and then apparently performs oral sex.
Okay, I'm going to the other side. Okay, there is something wrong with this.
What was the tipping point? I'm curious.
I think going to the bathroom and performing oral sex during while there are protestations going on. So, no, it's kind of bizarre. And Alex,
is that crazy?
Yeah, it is. Alex, thank you for putting that into our news pile, because now Alex is going to be being more and more involved with us, you know, with this show, as Michelle has been promoted to executive producer around here.
And the whole station.
The whole station, yeah. And she is, but you know, Michelle's going to be part of this thing because she has to watch what Alex does. Alex has to be controlled.
If you liked that story, Bill, an Israeli man has been fined for urinating on a memorial at Auschwitz.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And it's the fact that it's an Israeli and urinating on a memorial. And this Auschwitz is, of course, everybody knows, probably the most well-known of the death camps. And it killed more people at Auschwitz. It was basically a machine to kill people. That's what it was. Factories, killing factories. And Auschwitz is the most well-known. And it's in Poland. So it is controlled by the Poles. Actually, no other country has it. It's just a Polish memorial now. And this guy apologized and paid a $1,500 fine. And the Poles are pretty careful. I mean, there's a law that says you can't desecrate a monument or a public place devoted to a historical event, or a person can be punished with fine or imprisonment. So they slapped him with not so much urinating at Auschwitz, per se. It's any public place or any public memorial is what they got him on.
Yeah, but do you think if he, I mean, I don't, there's no bushes around.
No.
but I that are convenient to urinate in at Auschwitz.
Yeah, I understand. But the two things
you've been there, right?
Yes.
Do they? This may be a dumb question because I'm trying to figure out why he would do this. Do they have public restrooms somewhere on the property?
I don't remember. I didn't see any. I don't remember. There could have been in some of the buildings. I went through it very, very quickly because it was I had been stopped from going in all day. That's a story with I was going to do. I was doing a Holocaust story, and there were I had a Holocaust denier on the air with me, and immediately the Center for Intolerance called the Auschwitz folks and said, "Don't let this guy in. He's a revisionist." Me.
Oh.
Oh yeah. There's a whole. Oh. It's oh yeah. There's a whole yeah. There's a whole story there I have to share with you. So I finally got in about a half an hour before it closed. So I was running through there. And it was because you have people here in Southern California that literally own the Holocaust. And if you don't do what they say, you get nailed. I mean, it's almost like a franchise. It's crazy. And I'll at some point I'll do a show
yeah,
on that.
Hear
but
that.
The bottom line is I have no idea if they have restrooms. At Auschwitz. I'm assuming they do. Like a million people go through there every year.
I would think so. I'm just trying to figure out why he would do that.
Okay, so last week we did the story of how Katy Perry was still fighting the nuns for the convent and how one of the nuns, while in court, while fighting Katy Perry, dies in court. Well, there's another surviving nun. I think she's the last surviving nun of this group. Says, Katy Perry, I don't care. I'm taking you on.
This is a mess between the Archdiocese that says it owns the property.
And says that the ladies are too elderly because the place has got tons of stairs and they don't want them there.
So they moved them, but still the ownership is up. And Katy Perry had bought it and the nuns had stopped the sale. I mean, it's going on for years.
The nuns tried to sell it to somebody else.
Right.
And the Archdiocese sold it to Katy Perry. And I think so far Katy Perry's been winning.
But look at this battles. Was years ago.
Right.
I don't know why Katy Perry doesn't tell the nun, hey, look what happened to your sister. Where do you think God wants this way to go on this way?
Ooh, that's bad. I don't know.
Oh, you can't do that, can you?
But the sisters still say, I mean, they claim they pooled their money together back in 1971 and that it belongs to them.
Yeah, but the courts have not agreed with that so far.
Yeah.
So in the wake of those terrible wildfires up in Northern California where so many people died, I think 44 people, Pacific Gas and Electric says they're going to start shutting off the power anytime there's extreme fire danger.
Which basically means all year. Good, John. Which means, I mean, that's crazy. You're not going to have power.
Well, if the state continues in a drought, there'll be long periods of time.
I mean, that's insanity.
I mean, and they talked about the fact that shutting off the power has its own risks.
Oh, sure.
Involved. So you're kind of burned if you do and burned if you don't.
Well, everybody talks about, you know, what happens during surgery and all that. There's no power. Well, hospitals have their own power supply. Otherwise, they can't be licensed as hospitals that have operating rooms. And it's generators that are very sophisticated, and the law is very specific about that. But, man, for the rest of us, I mean, what do you do?
San Diego Gas and Electric did this. In December, there was some fire danger, and they shut off power to like 12,000 customers, and nobody liked it.
No, of course not.
Well, if it's a time of extreme heat, then you've got people without air conditioning, and then you run the risk of somebody being in their home without the air conditioning and them dying because of heat. I mean, there are a lot of things. I mean, I can understand, like, the reason that this, I think, is even a story is because probably PG&E will be found at fault at some point, or could be found at fault, I should say, because the power lines, the wind was so bad right before this fire happened that nobody could have predicted how bad these winds were going to be.
And that's the problem. You know, you have instances in which you cannot predict what happened. You just can't do it. And all of a sudden, you should have been able to predict.
But there are some things you can do, and they're finally starting to look at, for example, burying some of those power lines, reinforcing the poles that hold them up, or switching from wood poles to steel poles. But it seems like they were not in a big hurry to do any of this until now.
And look at the cost of that. And I agree with you on that one. They should. They will. And then, of course, pass on to the customers, which always says, and look at your power bill. look at how, which is why I'm going into a solar system. And, you know, I don't want to do a commercial here for Sunlux, but that's one of the reasons. Because I look at my power bill every month and I go, this is insanity.
But I look at this too, and what this looks like if you're one of the ratepayers up there, which I am right now, this says to me, PG&E, you do something about it. Why am I getting penalized for this?
Because you have to pay.
I understand that.
Because because there's no other place you can go for power.
Yeah.
You ask, and you're a PG&E customer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So why don't you ask Edison to run a line? Or better yet,
like
the DWP, Department of Water and Power, which is the best of them all out there.
I have noticed PG&E is significantly more expensive than power and gas down here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because the Department of Water and Power has its own power supply. It never sold any of its power stations ever. There was one guy who was running it said, no, thank you. And so we are, that is DWP people, we are the cheapest out there.
Yeah.
Edison is twice as expensive. If I was in Edison land, I'd be paying twice what I pay now. And it is still, in my case, probably about 6-7 years for the complete payback. I'm done on my system. And it's, let me tell you, this is why everybody's jumping to solar systems, because it's crazy. This is out of control.
Yeah. When we buy down here, I told Scott, I'm like, there's no way we're not getting a house with solar panels.
All right. We are done.